Welcome to Vegas World. It's time to party, and I'm your most excellent host, JC Vega. Thank you all for tuning in, and what a busy, busy week it has been. It's the holiday season, or at the time of this recording, it's been the holiday season. Christmas time has come upon us. I left last Friday to come back to Louisiana to visit with family, and since then, it's been nonstop. And it's been nice, you know, step away from professional wrestling, step away from podcasts, step away from all the things that I do in my life and just have some fun and relax and have a few laughs with, you know, some my family, my nephews and niece, see them, see other people, see my grandmother, all the people in my family and all of my friends. It's been a lot of fun. But in that time, a lot of cool things have dropped. One being the Superman teaser for the new movie in the DCU, helmed by James Gunn. And I gotta say that it definitely feels like a Superman movie. Now, don't get me wrong. I liked Man of Steel. Well, I liked Man of Steel the first time I saw it. I thought it was a different take on a character that a lot of people felt was hokey, out of date. How do you modernize this character? How do you make such a optimistic, hopeful character in an age where most people seem to be pessimistic or like, oh no, superhero with or a person with that kind of power set would be altruistic. They'd be like Homelander. And I think there was even a bit of a nod to that sort of thing where somebody threw a can at him, you know, because like in The Boys, spoiler alert, somebody threw a can at Homelander or threw a can at Homelander's son and he, you know, laser-eyed him to death. And this, you know, this Superman just took it. He got hit in the head, didn't acknowledge it, just kept walking. Overall, because it is a teaser trailer, let's get that out of the way first. Like, there's not a whole lot. We don't know a whole lot of plot or anything. They had the John Williams score, which was a nice touch, a modern take of that. That was really cool. Nathan Fillion as Guy Gardner, that haircut, Jesus Christ. I mean, it's, you can't say it's not comic book accurate because that, yeah, that's a bowl cut and that looks horrendous. We saw a little bit of Hawk Girl. That was cool. Metamorpho, who, I mean, looking at him, I just thought Zordon from the 2017 Power Rangers movie. Nicholas Holt is Lex Luthor. And the company is called Luthocorp. And in the comic books, I know it's called LexCorp. I don't know why they made that change, but hey, whatever. Not everything's got to be super duper comic book accurate. You know, you can play around with it a little bit. The first ever live action iteration of Crypto. And he looks very different from his comic book counterpart, but you know, that's cool. It's based off of James Gunn's dog. And an interesting note that James Gunn is writing and directing this film. So I guess if you're going to start the DCU, this new iteration of it, why not do it yourself? So, a lot of cool little things in there. Can't wait to actually see a full trailer and then actually the movie itself, because I want to see, I mean, I'm sure it'll, because James Gunn is a comic book guy for the most part, as we know. I mean, did a fantastic job with Guardians of the Galaxy, and Super is pretty much a realistic take on what a psychotic person dressing up in a costume would be. But, you know, he's, anyway, he's got a good grasp on comic books and he's a comic book guy. And I'm sure he will do the character justice. And it's already a step above James Gunn's because, like, there's color in it. There's actual color. It's not muted and gray and just dreary and depressing. And this Superman might actually be, you know, Superman, instead of just, I'm an emo boy who knows he's an alien and I don't fit in this world, even though in every iteration of the character I've ever seen, outside of movies and anything done by Zack Snyder, the character feels more human than he is alien because he grew up here. So that was neat, but yeah, not a whole lot else to say about it because, again, it's just a teaser, but, you know, they went all out in promoting it because, I mean, a couple of days before they released a motion picture. I say that it's a picture, like, you know, moving image, made background and all that. Man, it looks really neat. And I mean, it's another thing that's funny about this whole thing is, like, why did we need a teaser for the teaser? I mean, that's kind of silly at this point, man. Just release the trailer at that point. Like, what are we doing here? But no, I'm looking forward to seeing it again. Not the biggest Superman fan. Like, I don't know, I'm not deep in his lore, but it'll be interesting to see where James Gunn takes his character and how this sets up the greater DC cinematic universe going forward with him. Again, he's the Kevin Feige for DC, so yeah, looking forward to it. Another news, same with DC, James Gunn also acknowledged or confirmed the rumor that The Batman 2 is being delayed for a year. And the reason for that is because the script is not yet finished. Though a lot of people thought that it was because of Pattinson's role in The Odyssey, and they're, shifting the dates because of that, and James Gunn said that is not true. And it's a lengthy process, he says, to writing a script, especially a follow-up to such a phenomenal movie, and they don't want to mess it up. They want to do it right. So, as much as that disappoints me, it feels like we're never going to get that movie. And a lot of people have insinuated that the another reason for the delay is because of the fact that they want to integrate not James Gunn. They want to integrate Matt Reeves's Batman universe into the DCU. And to that, I say, please don't. I mean, I think we're at a point now in the world we can have two things at once, simultaneously. Like, I think audiences are smart enough to realize that the Batman is separate from the DCU. Is it just the DCU now? I don't know. Did they change the name of it? Whatever, doesn't matter. But anyway, this version of the DC Cinematic Universe, I mean, we can have multiple things at once. People are not dumb. Though I say that, though people often asked how Han was back in Fast Five and everything when he died in Tokyo Drift. So, but then again, it's the Fast and Furious. I don't expect Fast and Furious fans to be the most intelligent of the bunch. I'm kidding. Don't hate me. That's a joke. Calm down, everybody. I know they're all six of you Fast and Furious fans listening to this are probably punching air right now and wanting to give me just one good smack in the face. But nonetheless, yeah, anyway, supposed to be released October 26th, no, October 6th of 2025, but now it'll be October 7th of 2026. You would think I would have my notes prepared for this, but I'm a bad host, I guess. But yeah, no, definitely they changed it to October 7th of 2026. I hope it doesn't get delayed again because I really want to see a sequel to the Batman. I mean, the Penguin show was so good. I want to see what happens next, especially, I mean, there's a lot of rumors on who the villain's gonna be. A lot of people have said it could be anyone from Two-Face to Clayface to Hush, maybe the Court of Owls, or maybe like we'll drop little Easter eggs of the Court of Owls here and there. I hope and pray that we do not get Barry Keoghan's Joker, because I am sick to death of Joker and anything Joker related. Can we get other Batman villains, please? There are plenty of others out there, plenty far more interesting or just as interesting as the Joker. Like, I think we can take a break for a little while. I mean, I guess I don't mind him being in the background, so to speak, how he kind of was in the Batman movie, but like, we don't need him to be the main villain or the focal point. Like, enough's enough. Let Hush get a chance on the center stage, maybe. Let Two-Face. Let the Penguin. Let the Court of Owls. I mean, the Court of Owls is a fairly new concept in the comic book universe, but that'd be very interesting to see in live action. That sounds like a scary thing to see, the Court of Owls. I mean, the way they set him up in the comics was pretty horrifying in a sense, and the Talon is, but in live action would probably be pretty damn menacing. I want to see that. I don't want to see the Joker anymore. I'm tired of the Joker. Get the Joker very far away from the Batman universe or as a main villain. Just stop it. Again, let it go. Let's do something different. A little bit else going on this week. Those are the two of the big major topics I wanted to discuss. I've been binge watching Cobra Kai season 6. I'm not gonna get into a full-blown review of it blow by blow. I will say that while I did enjoy it, I love the campiness of it and how like pretty much Cobra Kai has become like almost like a DC or MCU universe with all this deep lore and how they're bringing back all these old characters who are like maybe in the movie for like 3 minutes or so and have like these deep, rich backstories are like enhanced their story now with them being in it, or just bringing back people for cameos. Like, hey, remember that guy from that one scene in that one movie that no one saw before the next Karate Kid movie came out? Yeah, great times, right? But it's a fun watch. Also, it was funny to see Britt Baker in Cobra Kai as a Russian, and she did an accent. That was pretty amusing. You know, good for her. Hopefully, maybe we'll see her in more stuff. Who knows? Maybe she'll be in the next season. The way this season ended, though, was kind of wild. I was not ready for that. It seems a little bit out there for Cobra Kai, because, I mean, I don't know. But then again, I mean, we had, like, Kreese pretty much beat up and, I guess, maybe kill police officers to escape custody, I guess. I mean, I don't know. It was a choice, I'll say that. It was definitely a choice. But, you know, I love it for what it is. I'm a little bit upset that they've kind of moved away from it being more centered around Johnny and how, like, he's kind of a screw-up. But then again, I guess, you know, from season one to season six, he's grown and matured and gonna learn how to become a dad and such. But, like, I don't know. I feel like we've pulled focus away from him just a little bit too much and putting it more on Daniel LaRusso, back to him being the main focal point, which, I mean, don't mind him being here, and like, it was neat to see him kind of be more of a villain type, and I mean, not I guess a villain, more of the antagonist instead of the hero of the story, even though he was a good guy and Johnny still had a bit of his jerkish traits from the original movie, but like, it showed he was a good guy. And I don't know, it's kind of funny, a poor Daniel's wife, I mean, that woman, like, married him, and, you know, they had kids, and everything's all peaceful. He's running a car dealership, and now her life, Amanda's life, has been ruined by a strip mall karate feud between her husband and a guy he beat in a tournament in high school. And, like, they've had kids break into their house, break stuff, had a kid fall from a second floor and break his back. Like, it's just a mess. Gigantic mess. That woman, it's amazing that woman hasn't started drinking yet, or like taking up smoking weed or cigarettes, or maybe taking some sort of other drugs just to cope with the fact that her life has been turned upside down by this silly world of karate. But I mean, another thing about the season, I will say, I don't know if I wasn't really a big fan of the CGI'd Mr. Miyagi cameo. I don't like, I'm tired of that sort of thing. Like, in theory, that sort of stuff sounds cool, but when put into practice, it's kind of like, maybe we shouldn't have done that, but maybe that's just me. But I mean, it wasn't uberly offensive, but it's just, I don't know. I mean, I didn't mind them mentioning Mr. Miyagi, but having to do that sort of thing is just kind of like, come on, guys, what are we doing here? But nonetheless, the new season is coming out pretty soon, and I'm curious to see where they go with that, because it's the end of the show, and then in the summertime, or maybe next year, yeah, in the summertime, it's next year, to Karate Kid Legacy, or Legend, Karate Kid Legends is coming out. It's gonna pair up Ralph Macchio with Jackie Chan and his character from the reboot Karate Kid movie with Jaden Smith. That'll be kind of cool, maybe. I wonder if they'll reference the show a little bit, or maybe Johnny makes a cameo, or maybe the fact that, you know, because Daniel LaRusso was like, I'm done with this after this whole big Sakai tournament. Baloney. We'll see how it all comes together, but I'm definitely probably gonna see it. I will see it. I'll see it eventually, whether it comes to streaming or if I go to the movie theater. You know, I gotta be honest with you. There's not a whole lot of movies that have come out this past year that I was like, I gotta go to the theater to see it. Deadpool and Wolverine was the biggest exception, because like, it's Deadpool and Wolverine. I'm not gonna wait for streaming for that. I went and saw Alien Romulus. Easy for me to say, pal. And that was a lot of fun up until, you know, the Ridley Scott Prometheus bullcrap that found its way into that movie. It's just, I don't know, it's been a lackluster year for movies, I think. I don't know if it's, I guess, the advent of streaming or if the movie industry itself is still just trying to recover from the fact that COVID wiped out business for a while and productions, and it's just not a whole lot of must-see releases lately. I mean, I don't know, man. It's just, it's one of those things. It's just not, it hasn't been appealing. Maybe this year will be different. Maybe once Marvel is back full swing, we'll have a lot more interesting stuff to talk about or go see in the theaters. Only time will tell. And on that note, let's talk a little bit about the Sony Spider-Man Spider-less universe. Because Kraven the Hunter movie came out this past week or so, and Sony has announced that they are ceasing any more of these anti-hero villain movies, and they're gonna retool the Spider-Man franchise. And to that, I say, give it up, please. For the love of God, stop. Just give it up. And it's even more baffling at the fact that the Sony Pictures CEO, Tony Vinciquerra, said that Kraven the Hunter was the worst launch for them since he became CEO in 2017. And he said, and I quote, "I still don't understand because the film is not a bad film." The film is not a bad film? What? Really? I mean, let me, all right. Full disclosure, I didn't see it because I saw the trailer and it didn't interest me. And I already knew, given the track record for Venom, which I did not see, was crap. Venom 2 wasn't very good. I mean, Venom 3, they fully leaned into the absurdity and like they pretty much made Eddie Brock and Venom into like this almost like buddy cop straight man comedic gap. They made him a comedy act. And for the fans who enjoyed that, great. I mean, they went all out with promotion, having him show up with commercials and Dana White and Busta Rhymes and all that stuff to try to like get people to come see it. Morbius was atrocious. And they didn't get that people were making fun of it, saying it's Morbin time, making a big joke that Jared Leto got into the act. And it's like, Jared, you don't realize that they're making fun of you. They don't like this movie. They don't want to see you do another one. This sucked. And then they even had the bright idea to re-release it in theaters. If it didn't make money the first time, why do you think a meme would have made money the second go around? And it made even less money. Like, how do you do that? It's simple, because you're making terrible movies. And I'm gonna steal a quote from Martin Thomas from Double Toasted. He said that Sony is trapped in the 90s making comic book movies. And to that I say, you're right. I agree with that sentiment because yeah, they're doing the shitty tropes that they did back then. It doesn't work anymore. And it works even less at the fact that you don't have Spider-Man, essentially. You let Marvel use him. You've signed a contract with them to let him be in their cinematic universe. Really, at this point, Sony, you should just give it up. I get it. It's a money-making opportunity. Into the Spider-Verse made you guys a hell of a lot of money. You piggybacked off the fact that No Way Home made buku multiple dump truck loads of money, and everyone was excited, and there was talks about, oh, maybe we'll get Tobey Maguire back for a Spider-Man 4. Maybe we'll give Andrew Garfield another crack at it. Maybe we can make him the Spider-Man. Anything. You had all these possibilities and you couldn't do it. You couldn't succeed. You couldn't measure up. You know why? Because you don't have the brain trust capable to do it. Avi Arad has been a part of every Spider-Man film since Sam Raimi ones. He ain't got it. He's not a good producer. Let's look at his track record, shall we? Borderlands, Morbius, Kraven the Hunter, fucking Uncharted, Tarzan and Jane, Ghost in the Shell. Need I say more? Get him far the fuck away from Spider-Man. Let somebody else be in charge and make the orders and give all the, you know, just stop it. You know what? You know, at this point, you know what you should do, Sony? Just sell it to Marvel. Just sell it to the mouse. Give him a Tell them to pay you a boatload of money. I'm sure they'll do it. And I get it. You don't want to give it up because you make a lot of money off of those movies still. Somehow, you've managed to do it. And you got to make a movie every so many amount of years before Marvel gets the rights back. But really, honestly, wholeheartedly, you should just give it up. Maybe make a deal to where you can keep into the Spider-Verse and let, you know, you can have the animation team still work on it. But for the love of God, just let it go. Having villains be anti-heroes just doesn't work because a lot of their stories centered around Spider-Man and you don't even have him in the movie. And then you take freaking Michael Keaton, Vulture, and put him in Morbius and like, oh, I don't know how I got here, but I know I hate Spider-Man, baby. Maybe we should team up. You tease a Sinister Six, and what's the point of a Sinister Six when there's no goddamn Spider-Man to fight? There's no Spider-Man. There's nothing. You got nothing. You got no good ideas. Again, you are trapped in the 90s. You are doing every horrible trope. The genre has passed that by now. We have prestige pictures now. I mean, Logan was pretty much a Western. The Dark Knight was a pseudo take on, you know, intelligence and what's too far and how post 9/11 world works and how surveillance and all that can be detrimental, and it's a crime drama. The Batman is a crime psychological thriller. It's Seven in the Gotham world. Like, come on, man. We've elevated past the 90s shtick of whatever the hell those crappy movies were back then. I can't even put it into words right now because I'm so irate. But Sony, just stop. You know, you need to, if anything, that's the thing you should do in this whole, we're going to take a break and reevaluate our plans for Spider-Man. Just give it up. Just sell it to the mouse. That is my advice to you. Sell it to the mouse. Ask for an astronomical amount of money. They'll do it, I promise you, because you have proven time and time and time and time and time and time again that you were unable to make a good quality Spider-Man movie without the help of Kevin Feige and the Marvel Brain Trust. See, I am so flustered I can't even say Brain Trust right. That's how irate I am at all of this. And the funny thing is, I didn't even see all those movies. I've seen clips, and like, I saw the weird clip of the Rhino doing that weird noise teeth thing, like he's pretending to be James McAvoy in Split. That was pretty fucking bizarre. And the fact that Kraven is an animal rights activist instead of, you know, a hunter, what he is, and now he's gonna hunt people instead of animals, and just, it's done. It's done, Sony. You had a good run. I mean, not really. You had a run of sorts, and you will be looked upon as a laughing joke. And it's even funnier when some of your producers are like, oh, maybe we can integrate this Spider-Man and all that into our universe. And Kevin Feige had to be like, calm down. You need to stop right there. We've got this. Let us take care of this. Or better yet, I mean, no, you can't just sit back and not do anything, I guess, if you're going to keep the rights, because you got to make a movie at some point in order to retain the rights. But yeah, just lay back. Let the professionals, the people who are actually good at making quality superhero films, do the work. You had a good run. Come up with something else. Maybe, I don't know, maybe you can revamp Uncharted or something. Maybe you could find some obscure indie comic you can buy the rights to and try to make it a popular thing. Hey, maybe Rob Liefeld can make you a knockoff Spider-Man. I don't know. The possibilities are endless, but just give up the rights. That's my final thoughts on that. Just give up the rights to Spider-Man. Please. For all of us. For all that is sacred. And for my sanity. Stop it. Let's take a deep breath, shall we? Let's relax. Ease. Woosah. And let's move on. Power Rangers Prime, written by Melissa Flores. I've started reading it. I think issue 3 has come out at this point, at the time of this recording. But issue 1, man, they hit the ground running. This is a Elseworld kind of take, or a different universe. If it's not part of the continuity that was established by Kyle Higgins and that run, Eltarians have come down to Earth to help, you know, Earth fight off monsters, and the only request they had was that they turned over power to them. And They act like a benevolent dictatorship, but you know, everything's got a sinister side to it. They kind of tease that some of the Eltarians, at least the ones who were running the Guardians of Eltar, were more of conquerors than anything. And especially the fact that they've outlawed Power Rangers, and if you find one, then oh boy, you're in a lot of trouble. And Lauren Sheba has been on the run, is like almost like a fugitive Red Ranger. And in this world, Power Rangers are essentially myth instead of being a long-running thing that defended Earth. So it'll be really cool to see how that goes. I mean, they introduced the VR Troopers, and they are more government stooges than anything. Maybe that'll change. Maybe it won't. Maybe we'll see the big bad Beetleborgs come into play. Maybe we'll see Master Rider come be a part of this universe. I guess Boom Comics or Hasbro has retained the rights to those Saban intellectual properties. I mean, I guess a VR Trooper Center, but you know, we'll see. We'll see how it all shapes out, but I have loved the first issue. It is a return to form, so to speak, in Boom's comics, where it's a more mature take than what some of the writers have done with Power Rangers, with the whole, well, let's make it the series 1.5. Let's follow more of that. We've gotten more mature storytelling out of it. And I saw the teaser for issue 5 and that cover and what we could expect with the Prime Rangers. And I gotta say, I'm stoked. Can't wait. Melissa Flores, round of applause to you. You've done a great job. If I had to give it a rating so far, I'll give it a 4.5 out of 5. Also, I read Amy Jo Johnson's Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, The Return. She wasn't a part of the Once and Always special, and this is her way of saying thank you to the fans. And I have to say, she is a really talented writer. I know she had a co-writer on this, probably more so for the formatting of a comic book. But nonetheless, I will give her credit. She's done a wonderful job with the characters and giving the fans something mature and something with heart in it. You know, some of it I feel like maybe might have been a little meta with how for a long time Amy Jo Johnson didn't want to talk about Power Rangers, didn't seem to appreciate or want to show any sort of admiration for her time in Power Rangers, or just kind of wanted to distance herself from it. And I can understand. I mean, you know, she wanted to make a career outside of Power Rangers, and Haim Saban is dirt cheap and didn't pay them the best, so to speak. But no, it was good. Not necessarily a big fan of how she handled Tommy in the series, though. I mean, I'm not a big fan of him being Captain America and staying youthful while the other one, everyone else gets old and stuff. I mean, I'll give you props for having the twist of, you know, alluding to the fact that he was dead and he's really wasn't. You know, Trini in this special has been passed away too, as how it was in Once and Always, I guess in reference to a Tui Trang. I think that's one thing that I will say everyone's handled with a lot of respect and care. I mean, including Trini in that way, because we can't have Tui Trang, obviously, in the show, since she's passed in 2001 in a car accident. I think that's nice that they included her in that aspect, or gave her some love and respect, too. So, that was nice. But overall, yeah, it was a fun story. I mean, yeah, it had a lot of heart, a lot of maturity, something that, as a grown adult, I can appreciate. I hope she continues this little universe that she's created, because they did leave a teaser in there and left some ideas open for further exploration. Maybe they will get it, maybe we won't. Maybe it's just a little fun little fan hypothesis of what if, or who is the White Tiger Ranger, because there was a White Tiger Ranger that showed up and they want to know where Zordon was. Yeah, that was really good. Also a 4.5 out of 5. I enjoyed that. I gotta start reading the Ninja Turtle. I know I said I was a couple weeks ago, but life just gets busy. But, you know, from what I know about that series and how, like, it starts off with Raph in prison, Donatello, I guess, is being used in a mutant fighting ring, and they're all scattered and they gotta come together. And it's still in the main continuity that IDW established 100 plus issues ago. but it's also a reboot. But I don't know. I'll have to see and give you my theories on that. Happy Gilmore. I got a first look the other day. Came out. I'm not really interested in Happy Gilmore 2. Adam Sandler hasn't made a good movie since the early 2000s, if I'm being generous. I don't know. I might end up seeing Happy Gilmore 2 when it hits streaming, just if I got nothing else to do. Other than that, I mean, Squid Game's come out too, which I gotta start watching that. I'm gonna give you my thoughts on that week to week. We might have a pause in between that because Caden Green and Aaron Nova and I will be watching Three Ninjas, the first one, and hopefully Aaron Nova does his homework because he didn't do this homework for Cosmic Fury. So we'll see on that one. And, I'm gonna start doing more reviews and stuff. Like I've been trying to work on watching From Dusk Till Dawn, the series, season one. And yes, I know what you're thinking, possibly. From Dusk Till Dawn had a TV show? Yes, because Robert Rodriguez had his own television network in 2014. And that was one of the very first shows he put on the air, along with a show called The Matador, which didn't last long, and Lucha Underground. And maybe I might cover. No, I said I would never cover wrestling on this show. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I'll break my rule one day, but it was a network curated for people like me who were really big into film and love obscure movies or independent films. And Robert Rodriguez made a movie called Grindhouse. We showed a lot of Grindhouse movies. Every Thursday was a Kung Fu movie, which, I mean, that network was a dream network for me. I wish. I hope. I mean, I know they got a little streaming channel on the Roku channel, but I hope one day they can revamp, retool the idea, and make a streaming service for El Rey, because I would subscribe in a heartbeat. But I'm babbling on. Nonetheless, there is a season. There's a television series From Dusk Till Dawn. It lasted for three seasons. I wish there'd be a season four, or maybe a movie to like tie up loose ends, or maybe expound upon what they teased in the final episode of season three. You never know. I mean, they've all. Issa Gonzalez is off working in major motion pictures. Same with DJ Catrona. He was in Shazam, and who knows where else he'll pop up. Zane Holt hasn't had a bad career for himself either. Brandon Soho? I believe I'm saying his name right. Maybe it's Suhu. I'm sorry. I apologize for mispronouncing your name. I'm pretty sure you probably get that a lot. Nonetheless. He played Scott in the show, and he is a martial artist, MMA fighter. He does a lot of, I've seen his Instagram. He does a lot of martial arts stuff now. That's really cool. But yeah, maybe we can expound upon that in a movie or season four. But I'm basically petitioning and begging and pleading Robert Rodriguez and them to come back with more of that because I loved the show. And I've been working on that to try to watch that because I want to do a compare, contrast kind of discussion talk about the show and the movie because I love both so very much. I mean, From Dusk Till Dawn is probably one of my favorite movies of all time. And I want to talk that. I want to get more centralized. I'm not centralized. I want to get more in depth with certain topics instead of just doing news. And it's touch and go because, trying to watch all that stuff is time consuming. But I'm gonna get around to it. We're tweaking it, the Vegas world. It's my world and I'll do what I want. And I want to do something like that because I feel if I enjoy it and show a lot of enthusiasm in it, you might enjoy it too. And you don't have to know details about it. That's what this is for. This is for educational purposes. We all can learn something and be, enlightened on certain things. And I want everyone to know about the good word of From Dusk Till Dawn. I said good word as if it's a religion. It should be religion. It's my religion. That's a little extreme. Nonetheless, I'm gonna have that coming out pretty soon. It's 10 episodes, so I should be able to knock that out fairly soon, but I want to dig into that because everyone should find. I mean, I don't know if you'll be able to find it, probably Amazon Prime or something like that. I'm one of the few people who have it on box set because I'm gonna be honest with you. When I knew when that show was on the air and how obscure it was on that network, that it was probably gonna be hard to find on a streaming service. Netflix had it for a while, and I think that boosted popularity for it a bit because if you go on YouTube, there are like ship videos for Seth and Kate or Richie and Kate. Like, I don't know. It's interesting how the teen shippers, those kind of people, found that show, and that not a whole lot of like sci-fi or supernatural fans or people of that, people who like that sort of stuff, people who like Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez's work might not necessarily know about it. So it's going to be my way of bringing it back to the world, and maybe it'll get enough groundswell to we'll get a season 4 or a movie. I'm going to keep saying it and willing it into existence until it happens. I will, and you know, maybe, you know, put me in it. I'll be a Culebra, or maybe, you know, make me a Lost Gecko, brother, cousin, uncle, whatever, you know, just saying, throwing it out there, please, pretty please. Robert Rodriguez, you know, I'll work for $20, maybe wash your car, maybe restring your guitar. I don't know, whatever, you know, just saying. Anyway. Oh, man. But without further ado, that is the end of the show. Thank you all for listening to me rant and rave about these topics today. And next week, I'll give you my thoughts on Squid Game and what other exciting news will come out. And I'll see you then. Take care. Party on, everybody.